Curses and Blessings. In the blackness of the night, the long eye opened, and she saw it all. She saw a bald weaver, and the work on his loom was all in ruins, a million threads hanging severed. But he was stitching it back together, patience, patience, and smiling as he worked. He put out his hands, and one fell on the head of a black-haired boy, and the other on the head of a blonde-haired girl. She saw the girl become a laughing woman, flashing lenses on her eyes, a tall hat perched on her golden curls, and the hat belched smoke, spat ash, blotted out the bleeding sun, and cast the world into twilight. She blew a kiss, and the kiss became a coin, 1,000 coins, 1,000,000 golden chains. She offered her hand, and the fingers became iron rails, and the rails reached across the sea and made a cage, the cage that Stour had forged, and the whole north was inside. She saw the black-haired boy become a black-haired man, and he sat on a hill of bones in a circle of fire, with a grey sword across his knees, a grey sword never sheathed, a grey sword marked with 1 silver letter. His scarred mouth spoke, but his words were drops of blood that made a stream, that became a river, that became a sea, that broke upon the beaches of the north. A tide of blood. A flood whose red waters would not recede. She saw the crinner boil. She saw Ufrith burn again. She saw the graves open and spew up the dead. She saw Scarling's chair split in two and the broken wood bleeding. She saw a plague of worms writhe in the poisoned fields. She saw a plague of crows shower from the bare trees and blot out the moon, sink the world in darkness. And in the darkness, she saw a bald weaver. And in his eye, she saw a burning stone. And in the burning stone, she saw a circle of runes. And in the circle of runes, she saw a black door. And beyond the door, a figure rose from the seething sea, a figure made of blinding light, and his feet left smouldering footsteps in the shingle, and he spoke in thunder.
I am returned.
Rikka tore free of the furs on her father's bed and crouched in the darkness, trembling, gasping, the sweat of her vision clinging cold to her and her left eye burning hot as a coal in her tattooed face. She couldn't say whether the long eye was a blessing for giving her this warning or a curse that she would wake every day in terror of what she'd seen. Maybe the truth was it was both. It had always been both.
"You look like you saw the dead," said Issa Nefail, frowning at her as she dropped into Scarling's chair.
"I did,"
whispered Rikka. The light from the great new windows she'd had built, with their fine view of the ocean, stabbed at her eyes. The sounds of Ufrith beyond hammered at her ears. Flashes of what she'd seen the night before lurked at the edges of her sight, seen as if they were already done. She closed her eyes, the one that saw nothing and the one that saw too much, and wiped the greasy sheen from her forehead. Her father's hall was busy, folk from every corner of the north come to pay their respects.
"People,"
she said, but her voice died in her throat and became a croak.
"People!"
And they stopped their chatter and looked around, shifting eagerly towards her.
"In the night, I had a vision."
There was a hushed murmur at that, an awestruck murmur like she spoke with the voice of Eos. Shivers frowned at her, his metal eye twinkling.
"What did you say?"
Rikka hardly knew how to start. Her heart was thumping at the splintered memories of it. She opened her mouth to speak, then the doors to Scarling's hall shuddered open and the nail stomped in out of the brightness with a new cut down his cheek, which rather suited him, and a great smile on his face, which suited him even better.
"Arlan Sand surrendered,"
You beat him?
Asked Hardbread.
Didn't have to,
said the nail, slapping him on the shoulder with one big hand and near knocking him down.
They opened their gates to us, and we were gentle with them, don't worry. All we took was their promise to kneel and pay their tithes to Black Ricker.
He gave a shrug.
Well, that and one other thing freely given.
And he waved towards the door, and a set of carles came in, each rolling a great cask ahead of him.
A dozen barrels of their best ale, so we could toast the new north.
And they hefted one of the barrels onto the table, while folk whooped and cheered, and one of them banged the peg out with his axe and sent a jet of frothy beer spurting, a couple of folk dancing in the foam, till Hardbread had a tap knocked into the spouting hole and started handing out cups.
Not only that,
growled Flatstone, following the nail into the hall with grinning men at his back.
But we sent the last of those savages back across the crinner, crying for his mummy. Reckon it'll be a good few years for those bones and hides bastards dare to stick a toe on our side of the river.
More cheers and more ale and more good news.
The North's ours,
roared the nail.
Well, yours.
And he grinned at Ricker. Then it seemed as if he might be blushing, and he scratched his sandy beard and looked down at the floor. No one much noticed, though, all too busy slapping each other on the back and marvelling at how everything had come out right. They all looked so happy. Faces Ricker was used to seeing stamped with fear or sadness. One old bird who'd lost two sons in the last war had tears on her cheeks. Even Call Shivers was smiling.
The North's united,
he whispered, like it was a puzzle he couldn't solve.
From the Crinner to the Whiteflow. By the dead, your father would be proud.
Ricker thought of her father then, sitting on his bench, rubbing his grizzled jaw, making the hard choices so his people wouldn't have the trouble of them, bent under a load of other folks' fears so they wouldn't have to carry their weight. Isern Ifail was showing her missing tooth in a girlish grin.
Always knew we'd get great things from you, Ricker. But I'll confess, I never expected half of this, not a quarter. Now then,
and she offered out a chagger pellet.
What was this vision of yours?
Ricker blinked at her and at the happy room. Then she took the pellet and stuck it up behind her lip. She forced a queasy smile onto her face.
Nothing, she said. All good.
You have been listening to a Gallant's audiobook, The Wisdom of Crowds by Joe Abercrombie, read by Stephen Pacey. Recorded at Strathmore Studios, Clerkenwell, London. The text is copyright by Joe Abercrombie 2021. The recording is copyright 2021 by Orion Publishing Group Limited. Recording, direction and post-production by Peter Rinney. Music by Peter Rinney. For information about other Orion audiobooks, visit the website at orionbooks.co.uk. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Also available by Joe Abercrombie and narrated by Stephen Pacey, The Blade Itself, Before They Are Hanged, Last Argument of Kings, Best Served Cold, The Heroes,